Well, Lord, we praise you this evening and we want to give you the glory. And this evening, as I speak, we pray that your Holy Spirit would come, that you'd convict our hearts. Lord, that we may know more of the love that you have for us. And Lord, would you release in us generosity and giving. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, I'm going to invite Elodie up because she's very kindly going to be doing the reading this evening from Malachi chapter 3. So if you've got a Bible, I encourage you to open it up to that passage, and I'm sure it'll come up on the screen as well.
This is Malachi 3, verses 6 to 12. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Even since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Would a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithe and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring me the whole tithe into the storehouse, but there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. This is the word of God.
Thank you so much, Elodie. I'll just put the microphone back. And hello there. Good evening. Well, for those who don't know me, I'm one of the curates here. My name's Tim. And this evening, I have the privilege of being able to talk on the adventure of giving. And for some of us, giving's not a very easy thing to talk about. And if you're British, money's one of those things where you just don't go there. It's one of those things that are really private and you don't bring up in conversation. But when we talk about God, God's not British. God kind of bucks the trend on this. He loves to talk about giving, and for a very good reason. And this is the reason. It's because God has an amazing vision for giving. And I believe it's one of the most exciting adventures that we can go on. And I think giving is a bit like bungee jumping. Raise your hand if you've ever bungee jumped before. Not many people. Okay. Well, you guys just need to get out there a bit more, I think. Well, for me, I've actually bungee jumped before, but I've done this thing called a bungee swing, which is far more radical. And basically what you do is that you get yourself strapped in and you fling yourself off a bridge and you sort of swing sort of under this bridge, like down into this gorge and everything. And it's illegal in England, so it just sort of says something about how extreme that I am. But essentially, it's the same principle as a bungee jump. You know, you throw yourself off and you go downwards. And I remember when I was 19 years old, I did this bungee swing thing when I was on this trip to Ecuador for 2 months. And I was all strapped in, I had my harness on, ready to throw myself out into the open. And I've been giving my mates a bit of a hard time calling them wimps and all of that. So what I had to do is I had to put on the brave face and, you know, the type of brave face where you look constipated because you're concentrating so much. And anyway, I was standing on the handrail of this bridge looking down into this massive gorge 100 meters below me. And of course, I was nervous. And the thing was, I knew I was safe. I was all strapped in, I had the safety rope on me. I'd seen a few people just throw themselves off this bridge before me, and they hadn't died, they were completely safe. So I knew in my head that I could trust the rope, that I could fling myself off this bridge. And I knew in my heart it was something that I wanted to do. Yet, everything within me was crying out, don't do it. And I really believe it's a bit like that in our relationship with giving to God. In our heads, we know we can trust God. And in our hearts, it's something that we really, really want to do. We've seen people give time and time again. People have gone before us, giving to God and seeing that God has been faithful to them. Many of us know it in our hearts that it's the thing that we want to do. Yet when we get to the edge and we look down, everything within us is screaming, don't do it. But like bungee jumping, giving to God can feel unnatural. It can feel unsafe. It can even feel just plain stupid. So on that handrail, I collected myself. I took one big breath and I threw myself off that bridge. And in that moment, I experienced the most wonderful adrenaline junkie thing that I could have ever experienced in my entire life. It was totally amazing. So you guys, you've not done a bungee jump, you need to get out there and do it at least once in your life. But in a similar way, are we going to take that leap of, by the way, they're just chatting at the front saying Charlie's planning on doing it next week. So in this church, we love to keep people to account. So do ask Charlie about that next week. All staff. Yeah, that's great. Cool. Maybe we'll get some videos. Well, in a similar way, are we going to take that leap of faith, trusting in the safety rope, yet adventure of God's in giving to God? And tonight we're all invited into this adventure of giving with God. And I want to ask you a question. Are you ready for that adventure? This evening I want to speak on Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. And as I said, if you've got a Bible, please do open it up. Here, the word of the Lord says to Israel, God says to Israel, test me in this, said the Lord Almighty, and see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have enough room for it. I've got 2 points this evening. That's not my point. The first one is test God in this. And the second point is and be blessed by God in this. Test God in this and be blessed by God in this. So first, test God in this. In other words, test God in your giving. As I said, we're looking at the book of Malachi. Judah had just come out of exile a couple of years ago, and they'd rebuilt the temple, and they'd rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem, and they'd returned to trusting in God. But in the book of Malachi, Judah had slipped back into old habits, into the old ways. Their love for God had become stale, and their lives that they live for God was no longer happening. But despite all of this, in Malachi 3, verse 6, God says, I, the Lord, do not change. God does not change. God's character is always consistent. He's always faithful. He's always trustworthy. And right from Abraham, right in the beginning of Genesis, to the exodus from Egypt, right through the giving of the law, to the return from exile, God does not change. God is faithful. But although God has been faithful to Israel, Israel has not been faithful to God. Israel was testing God in all the wrong ways. In verse 7, God says, ever since the time of your forefathers, ye have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. So this was not a new thing for Israel to be turning away from God. They'd done it all throughout their history in their relationship with him. But despite Israel's unfaithfulness, God does not change. God is faithful. And here, God is calling his people back to return to him in relationship with him. Israel might be a little bit bored in their relationship with God, a bit like how a marriage can lose the passion. God here wants to spice things up again. He wants to keep the love alive. You know, Mark was just talking about the marriage course that he's going to be putting on in a couple of months' time. God's almost wanting to connect in with us and create connection with us and get our giving as well back in the right direction, or it was, say, with Israel. And we see this in verse 7 where God says, "Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty." But we're left with this question. How will Israel return to God? Well, that's exactly what the next line in the text says. Israel says, "But you ask, how are we to return?" Then God answers, "You've robbed me." Just dwell on that for a second. It's quite extreme language, isn't it? Israel has stolen from God. They've robbed him for what it is, what is his. And I'm sure we've watched things time after time on the news where a criminal is convicted for something and doesn't show any remorse for the crime that they have committed. And we think, how can that be the case? Why are you showing no remorse? And in a similar way here, Israel doesn't seem to be showing any remorse. They're not bothered about what's going on. They don't really care. Then in verse 8, Israel asks, "How are we robbing you?" God answers, "In tithes and in offerings." Verse 9, "You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me." Israel had robbed God. They'd stolen the money due to God's house, but it's not in God's character to hold grudges. God is the God who longs to bless. God says, "Return to me. Show me how much you love me. Show it in your tithes and your offerings." But you might think, God doesn't need our money, so why does he ask for it? And one reason is that giving to God is a measurable way of showing our love and our devotion to God. We might say we love God, but do our wallets back it up? It's like me saying to my wife, "Claire, I love you," but never giving her chocolates or never taking her out for a romantic meal for two. I need to book that in quite soon. In the New Testament, moving on, Jesus highlights why giving is so important. He says, "Where our treasure is, there our heart will be also." Our giving indicator, our love indicator, sorry, to God, our love indicator can be shown in how much we give to God, demonstrating how much of us we want to lay before him. Does your giving demonstrate to God that he is your treasure and what your heart is for? God not only asks us to give money out of a sense of love and devotion, but also as a way of trusting in him. In Malachi 3, God says, "Test me in this." And you may remember Jesus talking about testing when he was tempted by the devil. And you might remember that he quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6 saying, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." So some of you might be thinking, "Oh, phew, like I'm completely off the hook with this whole giving thing because, you know, it says in Deuteronomy, I don't need to put God to the test." But if that's what you think, you're completely wrong, because what Jesus is quoting refers to not putting God to the test by worshipping other gods and trusting and not trusting in him. But in contrast, in Malachi chapter 3, when God says, "Test me in this," this is God saying, "Do you trust in me as your God?" And so both verses are actually about how much we trust in God. And here in Malachi, God is saying, "Well, if you do trust me, then test me in this. Test me in your giving, and I'll show you how much I'll bless you, how much I'll provide for you." What's interesting here is that God talks about two different types of giving here. He talks about tithes and he talks about offerings, which incidentally are two types of offerings that we do as a church today. So firstly, what is a tithe? A tithe literally means a tenth. In the Bible, tithes are talked about even before the law was given in the book of Leviticus. In Genesis 14, Abram, or later became known as Abraham, gave a tenth of the spoil to Melchizedek, the priest of Salem, that is, of Jerusalem. And then in Genesis 28, we read that Jacob made a vow to God at Bethel to give a tenth of his possessions. And then we read in Leviticus chapter 27 that God commanded the Israelites to give a tenth of their possessions to God's sanctuary. And this money would be used to support the Levites, to support those who looked after the tent of meeting, for the priests in service, and also for the poor. And at the end of the prophets, we get to the book of Malachi, that God is calling the Israelites to give a tithe, to give a tenth. However, when we get to the New Testament, some people question if a tithe is really that relevant anymore. The argument goes a bit like this. Christ has fulfilled the law through his death on the cross, which means that we no longer have to follow the law. It therefore means we don't have to tithe. But I just want to show you why that's a little bit of a wrong view, and it can run into a few problems. Let's just take one of the Ten Commandments, let's say, do not murder. And you're essentially saying, if you take that viewpoint, that since Christ has fulfilled the law, you essentially don't need to obey that. Now, that's a bit ridiculous, isn't it? I don't think that's what Jesus came to die for. So, of course, Jesus' perfect life without sin and keeping the moral law and everything was a big part of what his life was all about. But the point of it was not that we would get rid of these moral laws to know how we can relate to God and know how we can treat others and honor God through those things. He came to die and to live a perfect life for us so that we could know how to live for him and respond to him in his abundant grace towards us. And so when we talk about the moral law being redundant, it isn't redundant. We continue to obey God in that as a response to the extravagant goodness that he's shown us. Jesus says himself in John chapter 14, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Then in verse 20, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. So when it comes to our giving, Jesus encourages us to go all out for him. It's not just to do what's required by the law, but to surpass them, pouring out our love and our devotion to God. And then when we jump to the New Testament, we see examples of giving by the early church. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul reminds them that on the first day of the week, each one should set aside a sum of money in keeping with their income. And to me, that kind of sounds like a tithe. But some have challenged that view, because it's not exactly clear. It doesn't spell it out that it's a tithe. And generally in a pastoral setting, it's interesting the types of people who tend to argue that it isn't a tithe. Let's just put it like this. It doesn't tend to be those who are giving a tithe. It tends to be those who do not. And we can so often ask, myself included, how much How much should we give rather than how much can we give? How much should we give rather than how much can we give? And in Malachi 3, verse 10, God says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. And I just wanted to tell you a story about my journey with tithing. When I moved to Twickenham with my wife, Claire, it was for the beginning of my ordination training, and I was earning below the living wage in quite an expensive area in London. And Claire was doing a graduate thing with GSK, and so was on a junior graduate salary. And our house price, the housing costs were quite expensive at the time. And so for us at that time, we had to watch every single last penny that was coming in and out. And, you know, it'd be sort of one of those things where we just wouldn't be able to go out for a coffee casually because we really had to be tight on our money or go to the pub or do whatever. So there was no Netflix accounts or gym membership or TV license and all of these probably very essential things to many of us today. But we didn't have those things. And what we wanted to do in this testing financial time is to give a tenth to God, to give a tithe. And so that's what we did. We gave our tithe. And in that, we found that God actually blessed us. There was so much blessing in that season. And it wasn't in some extravagant way with sort of money kind of falling from heaven, but it was in the simple ways. God blessed us with wisdom. We learned so much about how we could be savvy with our money, about how we could stretch the pound to buy more for it. And instead of wanting more stuff, God allowed us to celebrate the things that we already had. And we're also able to enjoy just the beautiful walks that we could walk out to from our doorstep around Bushy Park and to the River Thames that didn't cost us a single penny. And since then, since we earned slightly more than that than when we did then, we've tried to give a greater proportion of our income in regular giving ever since, more than the 10%. This is who, and when we come to talk about the Pharisees and the scribes, what Claire and I really wanted to do is to really obey the word of Jesus, to surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes, and to really know and to really give out of a place of giving what we felt was right to God rather than just what was simply required. And so what I want to ask you this evening, family, will you put God to the test in this? What I'm not calling you to do is to give out of bad debt or to put yourself into poverty. But for many of us, I believe, God says, put me to the test in this. It may feel like a bit of a bungee jump, but God is faithful. Because when you do this, you enter into the excitement and the adventure in your relationship with God as you give to him. And then if you look back at Malachi chapter 3, we read about the second type of giving. We give to God in special offerings. This is in addition to the tithes that I just talked about. And this is partly what Gift Day is about. For some of us, it will be a matter of catching up with our tithing, starting to give a proportion of our income for the first time, which is definitely something to celebrate. But for many of us, it will be an opportunity to give offerings on top of this as well. In the book of Leviticus, we read about five different types of offering. But I just wanted to summarize it in two categories. The first category are those ritual and atonement offerings for our sin. But as we all know, these have been fulfilled in the perfect life death of Jesus. These are no longer needed. But the other category of offerings are ones expressed in thanksgiving, worship, and devotion to God. These are the ones that we still do today. And we have all the more reason to give these thanksgiving offerings because we know that Jesus has come and we know that Jesus has given his all for us. And we see this type of giving also played out in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 4, the church was selling all their possessions and putting it at the feet of the apostles. Paul also taught about this to the church in Corinth. He said that just as God showed generosity to them in the person of Jesus, they should respond in worship by showing generosity to him in return. And when it comes to me and Claire thinking about gift days and how much we offer, what we do is a few weeks before, when it sort of comes up in the notices, we really sort of take that as our opportunity to get our finances and our paperwork in order. So, you know, we sort out all the paperwork and we see basically where we're up to and sort of put money in the right places, just so then we know where we're up to financially. And this is really helpful because then we're able to look into our finances and say, okay, how much would we love to give for God out of what we have? And we often ask the question, can we top what we gave at the previous gift day? Now, this whole thing that I've just described, I'm not necessarily prescribing it for us, but it's just something that Claire and I do to prepare ourselves in a practical way, but also to prepare our hearts for a gift Sunday. And so God invites us to test him in this. Test him in your giving, in tithes and in offerings. Which leads me on to my second point. Test God in this and be blessed by God in this. In Malachi 3:10, God says, "Test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have enough room for it." When I read this passage, I have an image of a dam holding back lots and lots of water. Think of a humongous dam. And it's almost as if the floodgates, you know, open up and tons and tons of water sort of just gush out of it. That's kind of the image that I have when I read Malachi chapter 3. And so God's waiting on us. He's waiting for us to give to him our teeny tiny offering, because in response, God wants to open the floodgates of heaven like a thundering waterfall that doesn't stop. God's blessing on us is just completely disproportionate to the small offering that we give him. But he wants to bless us extravagantly. There's the words of Jesus that say, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." This is absolutely true. And for Israel, we read in Malachi 3, verses 11 and 12, of what God's blessing looked like to them. God would save them from insects eating all of their crops, and as a result, they would have exceedingly good crops. And today, we know that God has blessed us more than this. He's blessed us in the most extravagant way by giving his son Jesus for us. What a wonderful gift that God's given to us. And for me and Claire, we have been blown away by God's blessing on us in so many different ways. Just one area of my life where I just wanted to talk about was when we're preparing for the time where Claire went on maternity leave with our now very beautiful daughter, Louisa. And before Claire went on maternity leave, we were sort of doing the sums and we were asking God, you know, we're giving a certain amount in our regular giving, but should we cut back on that? And so we had a little bit of a pray, and we felt it was right to stretch ourselves in our giving. And this was going to be really, really hard for us to do. This was going to go into most of our savings or all of our savings. But we decided that it was the right thing to do to continue the same level of giving as we had before she went on maternity leave. And so what we were trying to do, we were trying to say, you know, Lord, this is going to be hard for us, but we want to depend on your blessing. We want to depend on your provision. So we decided to lay this money down. But to our amazement, Claire's work contacted us saying that they'd worked out her maternity pay and they'd got this new formula in place. And according to their formula, she was entitled to this extra pay on maternity leave, even though she hadn't been at the company for that long. And to us, you know, you might say that's, you know, just luck, but to us that really felt like a sense of God's provision in our lives. And we were just totally amazed and blown away at God's faithfulness. Now, there is a really good chance that we probably did just read the maternity policy slightly wrong. But there is a small chance, but we had gone through it a lot of times. But we think this is just a sign of God's faithfulness and blessing towards us. We decided to give a certain amount, and in return God blessed us. And I'm definitely not promising that if we give a certain amount, God's going to sort of slide a bit of money back in the back pocket. That's not always what happens. And I also just want to say, it's not me saying test God in this. This is God saying to you through the scripture, test me in this. Go to God and test him in this to see how much he will bless you in this area of giving by bringing it to him. So God calls us to return to him with all that we are. God calls us to bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse to him. And we know back in the beginning of the talk that God is faithful to us. And he says, test me in this and I will bless you. And as I finish my talk, I just want to give one more story about a time when God blessed myself and Claire in this area of money and giving and God's provision. And I remember the time when I was just about to start my last year of university here in Oxford, studying theology, and Claire had finished her biology degree and she was just about to begin doing a year studying Christian apologetics. And what Claire needed to do in a very short space of time was to raise £13,000 to do the course, which for us was a lot of money. And Claire and I were just praying into how God would provide for us. So she was working throughout the summer towards this, but this wouldn't actually come anywhere near making up the amount of money that we needed. So one day, a student who happened to be from St. Ebb's Church came up to Claire and said, you know, I've got a gift for you. And so later on that day, Claire went to her pigeonhole in St. Peter's College, and she noticed that there was an envelope in there. And what she did is that she took out the envelope, and there was a letter for her which said, this is for your course next year. God bless you. And that was it. And then there was this other bit of paper in there, which was a check. And she opened it up, and on that check was a check for £1,000. And for us, that completely blew us both away. And what was more, this was a student, somebody who didn't earn a salary, somebody who was, you know, living off a student loan yet felt convicted that he should give Claire that money. And if you're anything like me, I'm tempted to hold on to money. But this student felt God ask him to give to Claire. We were praying for this and we had no idea that God would provide in this way, but it was amazing. And so St. Aldate's, if a student can give like that and be obedient to what God is calling them to do, isn't that a challenge for us here today? And for us here this evening, as you think about your giving, what would that extravagant offering to God look like to Jesus this evening? So this evening, you might feel, well, giving is a bit like a bungee jump, as I said at the beginning. You might be looking down into that gorge, so to speak. You might know that giving is the right thing to do in your head, and in your heart, you want to give to God because you want to worship him. But everything within you might be screaming, don't do it. But hear the word of the Lord. This is God speaking. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Tonight is an invitation to go on this adventure. Are you ready for that adventure?